Hey, good evening, everybody. A good moed. Today's daf is Shkalim Daf Ches. We're going to pick up at the beginning of the third parak of Masechta Shkalim. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, also anonymously Lila Nishmas, Rabbi Kelmer Zatzal, and also by Moshe and Devorah Smith for Shlomer, for their daughter Tova Miriam Bas Devorah Mindel. So we're going to discuss today is first the Mishnah is going to talk about the Trumas HaLishcha, how they would set up the coins that were needed to be taken out of the Lishcha in order to pay for the Karbanos, and at which points in time during the year they would take coins out of the Lishcha in order to pay for the Karbanos HaTzibur, and the Mishnah is going to draw a parallel between that and the three times of year that it's recommended that one takes Meiser Behema. We're going to have three different opinions what those three times of year for Meiser Behema actually are, and we're going to spend the majority of Amud Aleph discussing Meiser Behema and specifically how to cheshbin when the Rosh Hashanah for Meiser Behema is, which animals are considered this year's animals, which animals are considered the following year's animals, the previous year's animals, because they all have to go together for Meiser. Each year is in independent for Meiser Behema. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about the great precautions that had to be taken when taking the Trumas HaLishcha, when taking the money out of the Lishcha, because the Kohen had to be beyond reproach. It had to be a situation where no one could accuse him of anything. So no pockets, no hems, nowhere that he could possibly hide any coins. And then on Amud Beis, in what is a great Daf Yomi coincidence, the entire Amud Beis almost is about the Dalet Kosos at the Seder. There is about the halachos of the yayin for Dalet Kosos at the Seder. So depending on your perspective, that is either the greatest Daf Yomi coincidence, being that this is the daf of the second day of Pesach, or it is the opposite of Daf Yomi coincidence, because we are as far away from having to have Dalet Kosos right now as we ever will be. So it depends whether you view your Dalet Kosos as half full or half empty. So let's begin the third parak of Masechta Shkalim. So says the Mishnah, v'shlosha pragim b'shana tarmin. Three times a year, they would take a Trumas HaLishcha. They would take money out of the Lishcha. Now, what they would do is, all throughout Chodesh Adar, they kept on piling in more money into the Lishcha. The Machzor Shekels kept coming in, and they kept on putting them into the Lishcha. And then, at the end of Chodesh Adar, they would have three gigantic boxes. Each box held 9 sa'ah, and they would fill all three boxes from the coins that were in the Lishcha. Now, very likely, there were a lot of other coins that didn't make it into the boxes. The coins that didn't make it into the boxes, those are the Shiyare HaLishcha. They get labeled Shiyare HaLishcha. But whatever goes into the boxes is what we are going to take the money from to pay for the Karbanos HaTzibur. So three times a year, we're going to come into the Lishcha with three sa'ah size boxes and fill those up from the 3 9 sa'ah size boxes. So if you do that three times a year throughout the course of the year, you're going to empty those large boxes. So the three times that we do this are Beprosa Pesach, 15 days before Pesach, Beprosa Tzeres, 15 days before Shavuos, and Beprosa Chag, 15 days before Sukkot, which is the 29th day of Elul, and through those three trumos, that's how we're going to pay for all of the Karbanos HaTzibur. Now, it could turn out, and most likely will turn out, that you're not going to have exactly the right amount of money that you need for all of the Karbanos HaTzibur in between those three time periods. Meaning, you might take out three sa'a boxes full of coins 15 days before Pesach, and before we arrive at 15 days before Shavuos, you may have already emptied out all of those coins in those boxes, and you may need more money. So what do we do in that case? Then we go back into the Lishcha, and we take from the Shiyare HaLishcha. We take from whatever didn't make it into the big boxes to pay for Karbanos HaTzibur. Or you might have a situation where you have extra coins in the box. You've already paid for all the Karbanos HaTzibur that you need between Prosa Pesach and Prosa Tzeres, and you still have more coins left over in the box. Those coins are called the Mosar HaTruma, or the Mosar Trumas HaLishcha. But ideally, you would use all the coins that are in the box to pay for the Karbanos HaTzibur. So, and not only are these three time periods the times that we would go and collect the money for the Machzor Shekel, for the Karbanos Tzibor from the Machzor Shekel funds, but Vayim Grandel Shel Meiser Behema. It is those same exact time periods that we would recommend that people take care of Meiser Behema. Now, the halacha by Meiser Behema is that all of the animals born into your flock in any given year have to be put together in a pen, and then you open up the door just a crack, and you let them out one by one, and you mark the 10th one as Meiser Behema, becomes Kadosh, it's also Begizah Avoda. It has certain halachas of Meiser Behema. You're going to be allowed to eat the meat of it, but it has certain elements of Kedusha to it. So when do you do the Meiser Behema? When do you do that event of putting them all in the pen and marking them off, marking every 10th one off? So we recommend that it be done 3 times a year. The only ones that are eligible to be joined together for Meiser Behema are the animals that are born within the same year. And much of Amud Aleph today is going to be about how to calculate when that year is. But 3 times a year, we recommend actually going through the process of declaring Meiser Behema. When are these 3 times? So Divrei Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva holds that these 3 times are the same 3 times that we do the Chumas Halishcha 15 days before each of the Shalosh Regalim. Ben Azai Omer, but Ben Azai says, no, there's a different 3 times that we do Meiser Behema, not the same as the Chumas Halishcha, but rather Be'esrim V'tisha Ba'adar, on the 29th day of Chodesh Adar, which is Pros HaPesach, so that one's the same, but U'Be'echad B'Sivan, not 15 days before Shavuos, just a few days before Shavuos, on the first day of Sivan, and Be'esrim V'tisha Ba'av, on the 29th day of Av, which is a month and a half before Sukkot, not 15 days before Sukkot. And then there's a third shita, Rav Lazar, Rav Shimon Omrim, that the 3 times that we would do Meiser Behema are Be'echad B'Nisan, the first day of Nisan, assuming that's which is only 14 days before Pesach, not 15 days before Pesach. Why 14 days before Pesach? So the Mefarshim explained, because we're assuming like the shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel that we have in the first parak of Maseches Pesachim, that Shaul and V'darshan B'Hilchos HaChag is not 30 days in advance of the Chag, but is rather only 2 weeks in advance of the Chag. So that's the time that's most appropriate to do Meiser Behema, because that's also part of Hilchos Pesach, to bring Meiser Behema to Yerushalayim, because everyone's going to have to be Olah L'Regel to Yerushalayim. So that's a perfect opportunity to bring your Karbanos of Meiser Behema that you're going to need to bring to Yerushalayim anyway. So that's one time that we do the Meiser Behema. Another time is Be'echad B'Sivan, like Ben Azai had said, and another time is Be'esrim V'tisha Be'elul, 15 days before Sukkot, like Rabbi Akiva had said. V'lama amru Be'esrim V'tisha Be'elul, v'lama Be'echad B'Tishrei. Well, wait a second, why the 29th day of Elul and not on the first day of Tishrei? So the Mishnah explains, well, the first day of Tishrei is kind of a busy day, as it is already. V'pnei shu Yom Tov, it's a Yom Tov, it's Rosh Hashanah. V'yev shala aser b'Yom Tov. It's not just that it's busy, it's that it's halachically prohibited to declare Meiser Behema on Rosh Hashanah, because in order to declare Meiser Behema, you have to, as we said before, you open up the door of the pen a little bit and you let them out, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then you mark the 10th one, you paint it red. So if you're marking the 10th one, you're being soveya, the 10th one, so that's usher to do on Yom Tov. The Gemara in Maseches Bechoros and Daf Nun Ches says that there's another reason, that it can't be on Echad B'Tishrei because that day is Rosh Hashanah for Meiser Behema, and you have to make a hecker between that which is new and that which is old, so that you don't come to take maisos from one on the other. So for those two reasons, that's why we declare the Meiser Behema, we take the Meiser Behema, we actually do the Meiser Behema on the day before Rosh Hashanah, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, on the 29th day of Chodesh Elul. So says the Gemara, Amrei Bevo, kol ha'detanin pros palga. Whenever you have pros, it always means half of, right? When we say that you have to eat a kazayis, b'kdei achilas pras, in the amount of time that it takes to eat a pras. What's a pras? A pras is a half a loaf of bread. It always means half. Pros always means half. So if that's the case, when we say that you're supposed to do the Chumas Halishcha on Pros HaPesach, Pros HaTzeres, Pros HaChag, it means 15 days before. How do I know that that means, what's that half of? So the Gemara explains, Palga D'Shloshim Yom Kodem L'Moed Shadarshim B'Lachosav. It's half of the 30 days before Yom Tov that you're supposed to darshan the Halachos of the Yom Tov. So 15 days before each of these Yom Tovim, that's when you do the Chumas Halishcha. This is a very chashav amaramakom, because the very first Bir Halacha in Hilchas Pesach talks about the inyan of Shal, very first Halacha in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Pesach, is Shalom v'darshan b'lchasad Pesach, shloshim yom kodem achag. That you're supposed to darshan halachos 30 days in advance. And the very first Bir Halacha discusses, is that only a din by Pesach, or is that a din by all Yomim Tovim? Half of the Rishonim say, it can't be by all Yomim Tovim. What exactly are you going to learn 15 days in advance of Shavuos about the Yom Tov of Shavuos? There are no halachos of Shavuos. You can learn Maseches Beitzah, you can learn all about Yom Tov. There's no Masechta about Shavuos. There's a Masechta called Shavuos, but that's not about the Yom Tov of Shavuos. So what are you going to do for 15 days in advance of, for 30 days in advance of Shavuos? So half of the Rishonim say, it must be the Sholem V'darshan is only a din in Pesach. The Makar that we had in the very first parak of Maseches Pesachim was based on learning the halachos of Pesach Sheni on Pesach Rishon. So it had a lot to do with the Karban Pesach. When you don't have a Karban Pesach on Sukkot or on Shavuos, maybe there's no din of Shloshim Yom. But from this Gemara, from this Yerushalmi, it sounds like there is such a din, because we're explaining the Mishnah that says Pros HaPesach, Pros HaTzeres, Pros HaChag, to mean half of what? Half of the 30 days that you're supposed to be engaged in learning the halachos of that Yom Tov, which makes it sound like this applies to all three regalim that one is supposed to learn 30 days in advance. Now, the very last Gemara in Maseches Megillah tells us that on each Yom Tov, we learn the halachos of that Yom Tov. That, certainly, the Gemara says explicitly, applies not only to Pesach, but applies to every Yom Tov. A Kriyas HaTorah of every Yom Tov relates to something about that Yom Tov, because we're supposed to learn about the Yom Tov on the Yom Tov. V'hein Granos, then we went on to say in the Mishnah that these same time periods that we do the Trumas HaLishcha are also the time periods, the moments in time when we're encouraged to take Meiser Behema. Amar Rabbi Yochum, Nei Shehin Pirkei Leida. The thing that's special about these times is that these are the three time periods during which animals give birth. Some animals give birth before Pesach, some animals give birth between Pesach and Shavuos, and some over the summertime. So that's why we have three times to take Meiser Behema. Another reason why it's Dafka these three times that we take Meiser Behema, the Gemara is going to have three reasons in total. Second reason is Rabbi Achav, Rabbi Tanchum, Barchia, B'Shem, Rabbi Yeshua, Ben-Levi, Kedeshtia Behema, Mitzuya, Lo'ale Regalim. That even though the mitzvah of Meiser Behema does not prevent a person from eating the animals before he's mafrish the Meiser Behema, meaning if I have not yet been mafrish Meiser Behema, my animals are still kosher. I'm allowed to shech them, I'm allowed to eat them, I'm allowed to sell them. I can do things with them even though I have not yet taken Meiser Behema, but still, most people will wait till they take Meiser Behema before they do anything with their animals, because they'd rather have their animals participate in this mitzvah. Meiser Behema is not a difficult mitzvah to do, because you get to eat the animal anyway. You get to eat the Meiser animal anyhow. So it's not particular. There's no chesron kiss. There's no loss of money in doing Meiser Behema. So most people will keep their animals off limits until they've done Meiser Behema. So we want to make as many animals available for the Ole Regalim as possible. So the best way to make to flood the market with animals that you can buy is by having everyone do Meiser Behema right before Yantiv, right before everyone comes to be Ole Regal. So now all of these animals that were born in the last few months are now going to be available for purchase. A third reason, Amrav Yudan Shleavulidei Bal Ta'acher, that we don't want someone to violate Bal Ta'acher, that by Meiser Behema you're supposed to bring the Meiser Behema as soon as you possibly can. So if you're mafresh the Meiser Behema just a couple of weeks before Yantiv, that'll be perfect. Now when you go to be Ole Regel, you'll bring your Meiser Behema anyway to Yerushalayim. Amar Rabbi Yosef Kalamasha Tivlo over Bal Ta'acher. Anyone who delays in Meiser Behema is in violation of Bal Ta'acher. So now we finally arrived at today's daf, the top of daf Ches Amar Aleph. So the Gemara brings a Mishnah that discusses when is the Rosh Hashanah for Meiser Behema. Meaning what we've discussed until this point is when do we encourage that you actually do the action of declaring, of designating Meiser Behema. But which animals even make it into the pen in the first place? The only animals that can be in that pen are animals that were born during the same year. You cannot take animals from two different years and put them in the pen together to make Meiser Behema. For Meiser Behema, it has to be all animals that are the same year. So we need to know, how do we count a year? Is it based on Rosh Hashanah? Is it based on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Is it based on some other time? How do we count a year to determine which animals belong together for Meiser Behema? So Tamin Tanina, and there is a Mishnah Maseches Bechoros, Rameyer, Amar Bechad Be'el Rosh Hashanah L'Meiser Behema. Rameyer says it all starts on Echad Be'elul. Any animals that are born between the first day of Elul this year and the first day of Elul next year, that's 1 year for Meiser Behema. Rabbi Reb Shimon Omrim, Bechad B'Tishrei. No, it starts on Rosh Hashanah. Any animals born between Rosh Hashanah Tavshin Pei Aleph and Rosh Hashanah Tavshin Pei Beis, those are considered to be born in the same year. here? Benazi Omer? Benazi says, I'm not sure. He'eluliyum esasim b'fnei atzman. Because I'm not sure which one of these opinions is correct, I'm going to tell you that take all the animals that are born between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh Elul, that's 1 year. Take all the animals that are born in Chodesh Elul and have that as a separate unit. That those animals go together from Ma'aser Behema, the ones from Chodesh Elul itself. And then you'll start the clock again when you hit Rosh Hashanah the following year. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, time at Rabbi Meir, the basis for Rabbi Meir saying that Ma'aser Behema is going to be the year of Ma'aser Behema, the year of which animals are mitztarif with each other, is based on Echad Be'elul, is that ad kan hin mismatzos leled mina yeshanos. Until Echad Be'elul, all of the animals that became pregnant during Chodesh Adar are going to be born, meaning that they're all going to be born during Chodesh Av, with the gestational period of a Behema Daka is 5 months. So if the time that the animals are going to get pregnant is before Nisan is the first month of the year. So when they become pregnant, it's in Chodesh Adar. All animals that were pregnant in Chodesh Adar are going to give birth in Chodesh Av. So before Rosh Chodesh Elul, all animals that were impregnated prior to Rosh Chodesh Nisan will be born. So mikan ve'elach in maschilus elul min hachadashos. Any animals that are born after Elul is over, are going to be animals that the pregnancy only started in Chodesh Nisan. So essentially, what Rameir really holds is that the real Rosh Hashanah, when it comes to Ma'aser Behema, is Nisan. It's just that we don't look at when the animal's born; we look at when the pregnancy began. And the best way to measure when the pregnancy began is by going 5 months later and seeing when it's born. So really Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the cutoff point as far as pregnancy is concerned. That translates into Rosh Chodesh Elul being the cutoff point as far as birth is concerned. And that's why it says anything born before Rosh Chodesh Elul is 1 year, anything born after Rosh Chodesh Elul is another year. Rabbi Yosef Rabban b'shem Rav Chuna, Taimed Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, what about Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, who held that it's all based on Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh Tishrei? It's based on the Pasuk. The Pasuk in Tehillim writes, Lav shu chare matzon, that there are some animals that become pregnant, Elu abechiros, that become pregnant early. Those are the animals that are already pregnant in Chodesh Adar and give birth in Chodesh Av. And then it discusses, V'amakam yatvu bar, Elu ha'afilos, that there are those animals that become pregnant a little bit later, meaning during Chodesh Nisan, and they give birth during Chodesh Elul. And the Pasuk continues, Yisro A'u. They become one group. They become like a reus with each other, like a friendship with each other. Af Yashiru. And Yashiru refers to Ma'aser Behema, because Ma'aser Behema, as we mentioned before, is a very joyous mitzvah. It's no chesron kiss. You don't lose any money from it. So you're happy to do Ma'aser Behema. So what do you see the Pasuk is telling us? That those animals that are born in Chodesh Av, and those animals that are born in Chodesh Elul, are all in a single grouping for Ma'aser Behema. Oh, so it must be Elevel and Nechlasim, Ladir Lissasar. They could join together for Ma'aser Behema because the Rosh Hashanah for Ma'aser Behema is Echad B'Tishrei, not Echad Be'elul. So that explains the Shita of Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon. What about Ben Azayu says that the Eluliyim are Bifnei Atzman, that all animals born during Chodesh Elul are an independent entity? So Rabbi Ben Azayu, Hol Ve'elu Amkach, Ve'elu Amkach. Since Rabbi Meir says that Rosh Hashanah is Echad Be'elul, and Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon say that Rosh Hashanah is Echad B'Tishrei, you Eluliyim. I can't decide which way. How can I be machria between these two opinions? So I'm going to say, let's keep the Elul animals, since I don't know if they belong to the previous year or the following year, let's keep the Elul animals separate, and we'll take Ma'aser Behema from just the Elul animals. Okay, so how does that play out? If let's say you have 5 animals born in Av and 5 animals born in Elul, or 5 born in Elul and 5 born in Tishrei, ain mitzarfin, they're not mitzarfin, because Elul is independent. But it will come out a little funny. You have an animal that's born on the very last day of Av, and 5 animals born the very last day of Av, and 5 animals born 1 day later, on the first day of Elul. They don't combine with each other. That's not close enough, because Elul is a cutoff point. Or 5 animals born on the last day of Elul and 5 animals born on the first day of Tishrei, they don't combine with each other, even though they're 1 day apart. But if you have 5 animals born on Rosh Hashanah, on the first day of Tishrei, and 5 animals born on the last day of Av, 11 months later, they're mitzvari with each other. They do combine with each other because that's still considered to be 1 year. Harelu mitzvarif, and those are mitzvarif. So says the Gemara, well, wait a second. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon are talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, and therefore they are also talmidim of Ben Azai, because Ben Azai was a talmud chaver of Rabbi Akiva. So what does that mean? Ben Azai has a hard time determining who's right in this machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon versus Rabbi Meir. Ben Azai machriya al divrei talmidav. How could it be that Ben Azai has to be machriya and he has to come up with some sort of compromise because talmidim said something and he has to so honor their opinion that he has to come up with something that would work according to all the other opinions? These are talmidim. These are people that are on a lower level than him. So as Rabbi Yemri of Rabbi Meisha b'shem Rabbi Shmuel by Rabbi Yitzchak shekein nechluku ala avos ha'olam. No, this machlokas didn't start with Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, who enochinami were talmidim of Ben Azai. This is an old machlokas that the much older Tanayim argued about. Maninu avos ha'olam. Who are these avos ha'olam? Tan Rabbi Yonah, Kamei Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva. This was something that was argued by Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva already. So now the Gemara says, from Ben Azai, from the way that Ben Azai expresses himself in this machlokas, that Rosh Hashanah is about when the Rosh Hashanah from Maisa Beima is, that it's an old machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva, Zoso Meres Ben Azai Chaver V'Talmid Hayah de Rabbi Akiva. That's how we know, the way he expresses himself is the way we know that he was in fact a Chaver of Rabbi Akiva, meaning a Talmud Chaver of Rabbi Akiva, that he was not someone who was a rung below, who was just a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. He must have been a Talmud Chaver, because in Tamar Rabbe, because if Rabbi Akiva were Ben Azai's Rebbe, Isbar Nash, Amar LeRabbe, Hol, Ve'elu Amrukach, Ve'elu Amrukach, what kind of chutzpah? Who talks about the Rebbe by saying these rabbis say this, these rabbis say, you say Rebbe Umori, you say something, a Lashon of respect. So it must be, if he was willing to talk about Rabbi Akiva with such a Lashon, it must be that he was a Talmud Chaver. What does Talmud Chaver mean? So the way Rashi in Maseches Erevin, Daf Samach Gimel, translates Talmud Chaver as it means that he's really a Chaver. Elamai, he learned something from his Chaver at some point. So since he learned a Davar Echad from his Chaver, so he's also kind of a Talmud. But really, fundamentally, he's a Chaver. And therefore, he's allowed to refer to him in that way, like an equal. That Elu Amrukach. Not all the Rishonim understand Talmud Chaver in that way. Many of the Rishonim, I think the Rambam says Talmud Chaver is someone who was really fundamentally a Talmud. But then the Talmud grew up, and the Talmud became big enough that over time he outperformed or at least equaled the Rebbe in his level of Chachma, which is something that obviously is going to happen very frequently. You know, there's a general trend of Yeridas Hadoros, but there are many exceptions to that rule of Yeridas Hadoros. I taught in high school for 18 years. I saw many Talmidim become much, much bigger in learning than I am. That's what you hope for. That's the dream. That's what you want to happen, that they outperform the Rebbe. So the idea of a Talmud Chaver, according to the Rambam, is someone who started out as a Talmud, but ultimately, now I teach in the Smicha program, they're already, when they start, they're already stronger in learning than I am. I just learned Yaradei before they hadn't. But that's the hope. But that, according to that definition of Talmud Chaver, it would seem to be difficult to understand why it would be okay to refer to them as Elu. You would think that once a person is your Rebbe, even if he was, like the Vilna Gaon said, that he would show the greatest cover to his Aleph Beis Rebbe, because everything that he taught him is Emes La'amito, whereas all the other Rebbeim he had kashas on. But you know, once someone is your Rebbe, so that's it. You would have to refer to him reverentially. But anyway, so Ben Azai must have been a Talmud Chaver because he referred to Rabbi Akiva as Elu. Rabbi Avin b'shem Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak shama lo min adah, that he brought a raya from a different source. There's a discussion in Maseches Bava Basra whether Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue about a particular point, whatever that point is, and Rabbi Akiva holds, even though Tanakam holds they don't argue, Rabbi Akiva holds they do argue. And Amalei Ben Azai, Ben Azai says to Rabbi Akiva, Ala chalukin anu mitzdarin el shabbos alach ogleinu es hashavin. It's bad enough that they argue so much and we have to deal with all these machlokes b'sham b'sil. Now you even take a case that I think that they agree on, you're going to tell me they argue about that also? So how does he talk? How's Ben Azai talking to Rabbi Akiva? Zoso meres Ben Azai chaver v'talmud habal Rabbi Akiva. He must have been a chaver to Rabbi Akiva, because in Temer Rabbe, if he was really his Rabbi, Isbar Nash amar le Rabbe el shabbos alach ogleinu es hashavin, he's going to say in the second person, You come to argue, to make machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel when they really agree? No, you would never say it in second person. You would say Shebar Rabbeinu. You would say in third person if you're talking to your Rebbe. In Hebrew, in Lashon HaKodesh, and in Aramaic, and in Yiddish, it's considered to be a derech kavod to speak in third person. Right, that's the practice, to speak in third person when you're trying to show kavod to a person. Rav Shechter pointed out to us that in English, it doesn't really translate, right? In English, outside of yeshivish circles, right, outside of frum circles, you talk to someone in third person. When you meet a head of state, a governor, a mayor, or something like that, they look at you funny. They don't know what you're doing. It doesn't translate well when you talk in third person. But in Yiddish, in Hebrew, in Aramaic, that would be the protocol. That would be what you're supposed to do. I remember many times in Rosh Hashanah where someone asked him a question in third person and he just got totally confused. He didn't know who they were talking to. Especially there was one guy that used to, who's a Chashva Rav right now, but pretty much everyone that was in the Shir is a Chashva Rav right now. But one guy used to refer to Rosh Hashanah in third person, but he called him the Rav. Now, the Rav, if you go to YU, is Rav Soloveitchik. So he would say, but the guy kept saying, what does the Rav think the bracha is on? I remember he once asked, well, the bracha is on hot pretzels. And Rav Shachs would say, I never asked Rav Soloveitchik what the bracha is on hot pretzels. No, the Rav. He just got confused. He didn't know who he was talking to. But in Aramaic and in Hebrew, you refer in third person. Tamin taninan. So we have a Mishnah. Now, according to Rabbi Lazar and Shimon, that Echad B'Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah from Ma'aser Be'ema, Kala Noladin Me'Echad B'Tishrei, Adesim B'Tishrei Be'Elul, any animal born during that calendar year, Harei L'Mitzarif, and they're all Mitzarif from Ma'aser Be'ema. Chamisha L'Fnei Rosh Hashanah, V'Chamisha L'Achar Rosh Hashanah, Ein Mitzarif. But if you have five animals born in Erev Rosh Hashanah, and five animals born on Rosh Hashanah, they're not Mitzarif, even though they're only one day apart. Chamisha L'Fnei Agorin, V'Chamisha L'Achar Agorin, Harei L'Mitzarif. But don't confuse this, the Gemara says, with the three times of year that we recommend you do Ma'aser Be'ema. Meaning, we might recommend that you do Ma'aser Be'ema 15 days before Pesach, but there's no difference between the animals born more than 15 days before Pesach and the animals born less than 15 days before Pesach. If you have not yet done Ma'aser Be'ema, they can still be mitzarif with each other because they are born in the same year. Now, once we discuss Ma'aser Be'ema, we're going to compare Ma'aser Be'ema to Ma'aser Ilanos. The halacha is, when it comes to fruits of a tree, there is a Rosh Hashanah li Ilanos. The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah tells us, we paskin Beis Hillel that Tu B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah li Ilanos. What does it mean it's Rosh Hashanah li Ilanos? So when we're little kids, we don't understand what this means. We think it means that the Ilanos have a whole party where they eat the simanim and they whatever. No, they're Rosh Hashanah, they daven all day and they blow shofar. No, Rosh Hashanah li Ilanos means that each year you're supposed to take trumas and maisos from that year's produce on that year's produce. How do you measure what is that year's produce? Whatever happens between one Tu B'Shvat and the next Tu B'Shvat. Whatever fruits are from between the Tu B'Shvats, between one Tu B'Shvat and the next. That's that year's produce. But how do we measure? What has to happen by Tu B'Shvat? So when it comes to Ma'aser Ilanos, the halach is the Chanata has to happen by Tu B'Shvat. Meaning, if the Chanata happens before Tu B'Shvat, then it's last year's produce. The Chanata, which is not yet a fruit, there's nothing there. It's just a little flowering of the fruit that comes after Tu B'Shvat, then it's the next year's produce. That's true of almost everything. However, when it comes to grain and when it comes to olives, we don't look at the Chanata. Not that we look at Shlish Gidulo, that if it grows to one third of its growth before Tu B'Shvat, that's last year's olives and grain. If it grows to one third of its growth after Tu B'Shvat, that's next year's olives and grain. So how does that translate over into Behema? What would be the equivalent of a Chanata for Behema? So for Behema, the equivalent of Chanata would be the pregnancy. There's no fruit there, but there's potential. That the process is underway by which fruit is going to be produced. The parallel to Shlish Gidulo for a behema is when the behema is first useful in a kachim context, which is going to be 8 days old. When the behema is already 8 days old, because the first week of life, a behema is not kosher to use as a karban. So when we look at the behema being born as determining what year it's from, we look at when it's born, that's neither parallels chanata, nor parallels shlish gidulo. It has no parallel in the world of peros. So the Gemara struggles with with that issue right now. We don't treat Maaser Behema based on Chanata, because Chanata would be the when at conception, nor Kishlish, because Shlish would be when it's 8 days old. Because if we were really looking at Chanata when it came to Maaser Behema, or the equivalent of Chanata, we would say, look at when the animal became pregnant. If an animal became pregnant between Echad B'Tishrei and Esrei B'Tishrei, but that's not what we said. We said if an animal's born between those dates. And in Tamar Shlish, and if we're going to look at Shlish Gidula, when it becomes useful, listening Kalano Lodimad Esrei Mishnayim Be'elul. It only is going to be useful this year if it was born by Esrei Mishnayim of Elul this year, because then it will have time to become 8 days old before Rosh Hashanah. So, and only at 8 days old can you use it as a karban. So Rabbi Shammai disagrees. Rabbi Shammai b'shem Rabbi b'Rabbi Chia kishlish asuosa. Rabbi Shammai, not to be confused with Shammai Azakein, Rabbi Shammai is apparently an Israeli Amora from Yerushalmi. Rabbi Shammai says in the name Rabbi b'Rabbi Chia that when we discuss Maaser Behema and what year the animal is from, it really is a parallel to the Shlish that you'd have by Peros. What do we say? Shlish Gidulo by Peros is when it becomes substantial and useful. So we thought that parallels an 8 day old animal. Not necessarily. It could be that an animal is substantial and useful already at birth. Ki Rabbi Shimon, if you assume like Rabbi Shimon, Damer Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon says in Maseches Bechoros, Mechusar Zman Nichnas L'dir L'Saser, that even if an animal is not yet ready to be a korban, it's in its first week of life, it's already old enough to be put into the pen to start counting for Maaser Behema. Meaning you put all the animals into the pen to start counting your Maaser Behema, even the ones that are in their first week of life, and in Echnami, if one of them gets marked as the 10th animal, you wouldn't be makrivit until it's 8 days old. You'd put it aside till it's old enough to be, but it could already be determined as Maaser Behema right now. So that's what we're assuming, like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, that the parallel of a shlish in the plant world is birth in the Maaser Behema world. Come Rabbi Manu im Rabbi Shammai, so Rabbi Manu got up to discuss this matter with Rabbi Shammai. Amalei, atamad hadam ilsa, you say this davar mechudosh, this new idea, tamin taninan, but we know that there's a Mishnah Bechoros at Benazi, Omer that Benazi says that the Elul animals, you take Maaser from them independently. Doesn't that mean even if they're born up until the 29th day of Elul? Not the 22nd day of Elul, 29th day of Elul. So what are you going to say about that? You're going to tell me that Benazi also holds like Rabbi Shimon? That it's already substantial as far as Maaser Behema is concerned from the time that it's born? No way. There's no way that Benazi would go like Rabbi Shimon against the Shita of the Rabbanan. Kemada atamar al Rabbanan, so Rabbi Mana concludes and he says that just like you say, according to the Shita of the Rabbanan, that an animal that's not yet 8 days old cannot even be put into the pen to be cheshbon for Maaser Behema. So then you only have until the 22nd day of Elul. Any animal born between the 22nd and 29th day of Elul are shayich to the year that they're born in, but you can't actually do the Maaser Behema on them until they're 8 days old. So what would you do with it? Meaning, let's say you have animals that are born between the 22nd and 29th day of Elul. So I can't take Maaser Behema from them now because they're not old enough yet. But they are this year's animals. They're not next year's animals. So what do? Menichel Neshana Abba, set them aside till after Rosh Hashanah, Vein Mesashim Menei Shnasan, and just be very careful that after Rosh Hashanah, when you take Maaser Behema from these animals, that you don't mix in any animals that are born after Rosh Hashanah together with these. They have to be, because these are still last year's animals, it's just you had to wait till they became 8 days old till you took the Maaser Behema. So Kenat Amar al de Ben Azai, Menichel and that's what Benazi would tell you, the same thing when it comes to the when it comes to Elul being cheshbon in its own, that any animals that are born at the very end of Elul, you're going to have to take Maaser Behema from them independently, but you're going to have to wait until they're 8 days old to take that Maaser Behema. That even though it's not yet old enough to be a korban in its first week of life, but it is still considered an animal of that year that it was born in. that he learned that Abba learned this din from the pasuk kol bachar asher yivaleid hazachar takdish haketzad. What's the pasuk talking about? That you're makdish a bachar? Bachar is kadosh on its own. It's the firstborn, so it's kadosh by definition. What does it mean you're makdish a bachar? No, mishas ledasad manu l'shana. The pasuk is trying to tell me that I count the year based on when the animal is born, when the from the time of the birth, and not based on. And not based on being maktishit or anything else, or based on when it becomes 8 days old. Based on the time that it's born, that's how I determine what year the animal is from. Okay, adkan, the difficult part of the daf. Now we get to the much easier part of the daf. Says the Mishnah, like we said before, 3 times a year they'd come in with these 3 boxes that each held 3 se'in, and they would take from the bigger boxes that each held 9 se'in, they would take money and they would fill up these boxes and use the money to pay for the Korbanos HaTzibur. And these boxes, V'kasev Aleihen, Aleph, Beis, Gimel. The boxes were each marked Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Yevanos Kasev Aleihen, Alpha, Beis, Gamma. That we didn't use Hebrew letters, we used Greek letters on the box, because everyone spoke Greek in the times of Bayesheni, so we wanted to be letters that everyone understood, and this is a fulfillment of Yafta Lukim Liefes V'yishkon Baal Shem, that the Gemara Megillah Darshan's Yaf Yafuso Shal Yefes exists in the Al Shem. Can you have a greater Ahal Hashem than the Beis HaMikdash itself? And here you have Greek letters, the Afyufuso Shel Yefes, marking the boxes which with that they filled up the Machsa Shekel money into in order to pay for the Karbanos Hatzibur. Why did they have to mark the boxes Aleph, Beis, and Gimel? So the Gemara is going to explain that they have to mark the boxes to make sure that they do everything in the right order, that they spend the money from box 1 before they spend the money from box 2, because if whatever was taken first has to be spent first. What do they call it in accounting? FIFO? First in, first in. So whatever money came in first, that's the money that has to go out first. But it's not just an accounting, it's not just in theory. It's like an actual practice. It's the same money. It's the same coins that came in first that would go out first. In fact, there are Gedolei Ashkenaz, there are Rishonei Ashkenaz, the Rush quotes that say that this is not only true when it comes to Trumas Halishcha, this is true when it comes to other things as well. The Rush quotes in the 10th Perek of Maseches Psachim, that people very often would have only 3 matzos for Pesach, because that's what you need. You need 3 matzos. So what would they do with their 3 matzos? They would mark them, they would imprint on them Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. And they would, Dafka, the first one that was marked, the first one that they would need, they would mark Aleph, and that was the first one in the oven, and that was also the top matzah. And they would imprint Beis, and that was the second matzah, and they would imprint Gimel. In fact, there are even Shailas in Poskim, in the early Poskim, in Leket Yosha, Talmud Shuma Sadesha, and others. What happens if the third matzah breaks? So do you have to keep it as the third matzah? Can you say, well, it's going to be Yachatz, I'm going to need a Yachatz anyway, so why don't I just use it as the second matzah? Are you letting go out of order? You see this concept of keeping things misudar, that if there's an aleph, a beis, and a gimel, you have to do in that order, the aleph, the beis, and the gimel. Then the Mishnah tells us, that the guy who's going to take the Trumas Halishcha cannot have anywhere to hide the money. No pockets, no hems, no shoes, no sandals, no tefillin, because if he might take the parshios out and stick coins in there and sneak some money out. No kameya, no amulets that he could stick something in, because Shema Ye'ani, because if that Kohen were to become poor, you know what Klal Yisrael is going to say? V'yamru me'avon alishcha ha'ani. Oh, it must be that he was stealing from the Lishcha, and that's why he became poor, as punishment for stealing from the Lishcha. Hashem punished him, and that's why he's poor. Oh, Shema Yashir, or maybe he's going to become wealthy. V'yamru mitrumas alishcha ha'ashir. And everyone's going to say, oh, I know why he became wealthy, because he's pocketing all this money from the Lishcha. Which, by the way, those are opposite tainas, right? Meaning, but that just goes to show you, when people want to be cynical, whatever actually happens, whatever the facts are, they'll fit that into their narrative. If they don't like you and they want to throw dirt at you, then whatever actually happens, they'll make a story, they'll build a story around it. And that's unfortunately the way cynical people are. So the Kohen cannot expose himself to such cynicism. So what does he do? So he has to go with no pockets, no nothing. So a person has to be beyond reproach. Just like he has to be clean in the eyes of God. Because the pasuk says, "V'isim nikiim me Hashem umi Yisrael." Ve'omer, and there's another pasuk in Mishlei, "Umatzachem v'sechelto bein elokim v'adam." Not only bein elokim, but also v'adam as well. So I always thought, I said recently in a drasha, I think, why is it that we have two pasukim? Meaning, once you have a pasuk in Chumash, I need a pasuk in Mishlei as well. And also, we just got through saying that cynical people will be cynical no matter what. You become poor, you become rich. They'll come up with, you can't wait till they'll come up with some other way. They'll say you hit it in your mouth. They'll say you did. You know, there's always going to be some taina against the person. So I thought that that's what these two pesukim are telling us. That if you really want to be nikiyim Hashem Yisrael, there is no behavior. There's no particular behavior that's going to be good enough to be beyond reproach, where no one's going to be able to say anything. If someone wants to tell the story about you, they'll tell the story about you, no matter how careful you are. The best eitzah is umatzachein v'seichel tov bein elokim v'adam, is to have chein with people in general. That you develop good relationships with people where people want to think the best of you, and that's the best protection of v'yisim nikiyim. If you want to accomplish v'yisim nikiyim, develop a relationship with other people where you're matzachein. And once you're matzachein, they're not going to be interested in telling stories about you. Tamin tanina, the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos tells them, mefanan afilu arba v'chamish kupos, that if you need room for makom beis medrash, you're allowed to clear out four or five big boxes of straw to make room for the beis medrash on Shabbos. Rabbi Zeira Shalosh Rabbi Yoshia, kamu shirin shel kupos. How large are these boxes that you're allowed to move out of the way? Samalei nilmol tzasim and amufurish. Well, it doesn't say in Masechta Shabbos, but maybe we could derive it from the size of the boxes that we talk about in shkalim. Detanya b'shalosh kupos shalosh shalosh sin shein tishas sin shein esrim v'sheva sin tomenas alishcha. That we fill up these three sa'ah boxes from these larger boxes three times, which means that the larger boxes hold nine se'in. And there are three of these larger boxes, which is a total of 27 se'in. But you see that a large box is called nine, is defined by being nine sa'ah. So it must be that when it comes to clearing large boxes out of the way in order to make room on Shabbos for Beis HaMedrash, it's talking about a nine sa'ah box. V'kos v'alein alef beis gimel, and they're written alef beis gimel on the box. V'nei makos v'alein alef beis gimel, why would they have... Why did they have the boxes labeled? Lomer, mistag min harshona, kodem l'shniya, min ashniya, kodem l'shlisha. Like we said before, that you're supposed to spend them in that order. You spend the money from box one before box two, and box two before box three. Tamin taninan, once we're on the topic of deriving a halacha from elsewhere, and not from the actual source, there is a halacha in Shabbos, that a motzi yayin kedem zikas hakos. How much wine do you have to carry in order to be chayav for the melacha of hotza'a? And whenever it comes to the melacha of hotza'ah, it's always a substantial amount of that item that you're carrying. There's no like single shear that works for every item. It's always a substantial amount of that item. So how much wine is a substantial amount of wine? So Rabbi Zeira Shalosh Rabbi Yoshia Kama Shirin Shalkos. So we said it's Kizei Mizik Shalkos, but how much is that? So Rabbi Yoshia responded, Nilma Sassaman Am Furish. It doesn't say explicitly by Shabbos how much that is. Titani Rabbi Chia Arba Kosos Shamru. Ah, so let's look at Hilchas Pesach at the Dalit Kosos. Yesh and revius shall yayin be italki, that if you have a revius, a very strong, undiluted wine, altogether, that's enough for four kosos of yayin. So you see that that's the shear of hotzah on Shabbos. That if you have a quarter of a revius, that's enough for one kos of yayin. Am Rabbi Yosi Barav Mishum Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yehudahi. That din, that the carrying wine, undiluted wine, the amount that you need to be chayiv is kedei mezikas kos, that's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, because the Tanakama in the Brisa that we're about to quote disagrees with that. Titani, because the Brisa tells us, mayim, when it comes to the shear of mayim that you're chayiv for carrying, kedei gamia, it's as much as you can swallow at once. Rabbi Yehuda, kedei loshavba in the sakila, it's amount, the amount of water you would need to rub on your eye to cool off your eyes. Yayin, and what's the shear of yayin? Kedei gamia. Tanakama says, the amount that you could swallow at once. But Rabbi Yehuda Amar Kedei Mezikas HaKos. Rabbi Yehuda says the amount that you would need to make one kos of yayin. Mazug Bekama, says the Gemara, the shear of yayin mazug that's diluted with water, how much do you need of diluted wine in order to carry, in order to be chayiv for otzah on Shabbos? So Nishminim and Adah, we could derive that halacha from the following. Mayim Kedei Gemir, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Kedei Losh Ben HaSekilor, Yayin Kedei Gemir, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Kedei Mezikas HaKos. Hadah Amar, mazug k'dei mezikas hakos. You see that the shear of yayin mazug is the amount that you would need for a kos. How much do you need for a kos? You need a revias. So kama shiurin shel kos, Rabbi Avnor, titorin revia. The shear of a kos is a liquid measure of a revias halug. So if you have one quarter of a revias that's actual undiluted wine, you put three quarters of a revias of water in it, and then you have a revias of properly diluted delicious wine. Once we're on the topic of wine, let's talk more about dalad kosos. Six issues about dalad kosos. Ma'alish tosim b'krach echad. Can you drink the dalad kosos one right after the other without being mafsik in between them? Doesn't sound like a great idea, but can you do that technically if you want to, if you were so inclined? So midam Rabbi Manam Rabbi Yosi halal l'mshon b'esek neses yatza hadam r'mshon b'krach echad yatza. From the fact that we said that if you heard halal in shul, you don't have to say halal again at the seder, that tells me that you don't need something mafsik between your kosos. Because what happens between the third and the fourth kos? Halal happens. But if you're already yotze with the halal that you said in shul, you don't need another halal at the seder, then nothing happens between the third and fourth kos. You're just downing one night after the other. So apparently that works for dalad kosos. Second halach of dalad kosos, ma'al lishtosan bipiskan. Can you drink them just a little bit at a time? Less than just a sip and then another sip, then instead of downing a revius at once. Klum amru sheyishta lo kedei sheyishta velo sheyishtaker im shasim piskan uein mishtaker. No, you're not only supposed to drink the dalad kosos, it's supposed to have an effect on you. It's only going to have an effect if you down a lot of it at one time. So you shouldn't just be taking tiny little sips of it. Third halacha, ma'alatzis b'yayin shel shviyas. Can you use Shemitah wine for dalad kosos? I'll tell you what you can't do with Shemitah wine. If you're using Shemitah wine for dalad kosos, you're not allowed to take out for dan tzvardei. You're not allowed to pour out of the kos, because Shemitah wine, you're not allowed to waste any of it. You have to drink all of it. But can you use it for dalad kosos? So Tanya Rav Oshia, yotzen b'yayin shel shviyas. Yes, Shemitah wine, even though it's typically a lower quality of wine, because no one was working the vineyards during Shemitah, nevertheless, you could use it for dalad kosos. Ma'alatzis b'kun. What about wine that has additives in it, that you put different spices or honey, in sweeteners in the wine, like pretty much all of our wine that has sulfites and sugars that are added to it? We see that it does have a halacha of yayin, and you can be yotze with it. Fifth halacha, ma'al lotzis b'yayin mezugin. Can you use yayin that is mazug, that is diluted, that is overly diluted? So, b'tani Reb Chiya, arba kos shomer yotzen b'ein chayin, b'ein mezugin. As long as it still tastes and looks like wine, that's good enough. How does wine look? That the ideal is that it should look red, that the wine should be red for the dalad kosos. That you should have your eye on the kosos and be able to see the redness of the yayin. That's a minhag that many people have, that they're makbid to use red wine at the seder. There is also a minhag that many people have, that they're makbid to use a glass instead of a silver kiddush cup for the dalad kosos, for that same reason, that you could see the redness if you're using a glass. Some people like using a glass because wine tastes better out of a glass, but others like using glass dafka for that reason. And obviously the reason to use silver would be hider mitzvah, to use that which is nice, or different minhagim. You go to 10 different sedarim, you'll see 10 different sets of minhagim. That's always the way it is. So sixth halacha, tani Mavushal kimetubal. If you have wine that's cooked, then it's as if it's been spiced. It's as if it has additives. Ma lotzis b'yayin mavushal. Can you use yayin mavushal for dalad kosos? Am Rabbi Yonah yotzin b'yayin mavushal. Yes, you're allowed to use yayin mavushal. Rabbi Yonah l'tameid. Rabbi Yonah katava shasi arba kasi depischa have a chazak reshe ad chaga. That when he drank the dalad kosos on Pesach, he had a headache until chag. So I translated chag. The pashtos is chag asukos. When I gave the shiur earlier today in shul, and people came over to me and said, I just don't want you to be embarrassed when you give it on Zoom. You know, Chag, the art school says, means Shavuos. It doesn't mean Sukkos. So different Mefarshim say different things. Pashtus says Chag means Sukkos. So, because that's what the word Chag generally means, as Stam Chag is Sukkos. But again, different Mefarshim translate it differently. In the Bavli, we have such a statement that someone had a headache until Shavuos, so that's why you would want to translate it as Shavuos over here. This is a major Marimakum in terms of how sick you have to get to drink Dalad Kosos. Do you really have to have a headache for 7 weeks or 6 months in order to fulfill the mitzvah? So it's an interesting discussion in Poskim. Chamisa Chad Matronisa, just one story and then we'll finish. Chamisa Chad Matronisa, one noble woman saw Rabbi Yonah, that Apoy Nihirin, that his face was very, had a beautiful countenance. It was a shiny face. So Amra Saba Saba, she said, "You old man, Chad Me'ani Tlas Milan Isbach, you look so good. It must be that you do one of the following three things. Either you're a big wine drinker, and because Yain Yisamach Levav Enosh, and that's why you have so much simcha, and that's why you look so good. Or you have a real cushy job. You lend money with interest, so you're just banking more money and more money on top of money. Or you raise pigs, and there's great profit in that business as well." So Amalai said, "Strike three. You're wrong on all three counts. None of those three things are true about me. One of them just happens to not be true. I happen to be a terrible wine drinker. I get sick for 6 months when I drink wine, so that's definitely not true about me. And the other two are aser, right? So I'm definitely not lending with ribbis, and I'm definitely not being megadol chazirim. Oh, so where do I get this beautiful countenance? El ulpani shchiachli. But I learn a lot of Torah. Da'ach yiksiv chach masadam ta'ir panav. The Torah is what gives me this beautiful countenance. That's what gets me excited, and that's what gives me a great sense of simcha." Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with the next story with Rabbi Avo Asi Litaveria tomorrow. Everyone have a guten Moed, and thank you so much for joining.
Regular schedule,
yeah. 6:15 daf, followed by davening, yeah. 40-minute daf.
All right, thank you.
Okay, pleasure.